This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, recognised as one of Africa's foremost thought leaders and a powerful advocate for agricultural reform, Agnes Kalibata is responsible for running the first ever UN Food Systems Summit. In an interview with Conor Lennon from UN News, Ms. Kalibata, the Secretary-General's envoy for the event, outlines the ways that food systems are negatively impacting the world and how she plans to use the summit to address these problems. She began by acknowledging that the term food systems is not widely understood and explained why it's so important to tackle the issue.
Food systems is pretty complex. I personally did not understand the whole complexity and breadth and probably depth of food systems until I started engaging on this. There's a tendency that across the different areas that constitutes food systems, we each look at the areas that impact us the most. I'm from an agricultural sector perspective, so I look at how we produce food, and I focus a lot on how we produce and how people access food. But there are so many other perspectives of food systems. To produce food, we use the environment, and there's definitely an environmental perspective on that. To consume food, it goes through several stages, several paths, several things happen. There's a whole complexity of issues around food systems, from how we produce it, to how we move it around, to how we retail it, to how we take it to the fork, to the table, and how we influence how we think about all that. There's a whole lot of influencing also that happens in the food system arena with regards to how, again, to how food is produced, how it is moved, and how it reaches the table, that impacts our behavior, that impacts how we think, that impacts our culture. So food systems are extremely complex. It's about people's beliefs, it's about people's cultures, but it's also about life and how we live. And it's also about how we interact with our environment. And I think how we interact with our environment is probably the most important part of what has gotten us into this conversation. How we interact with our environment has resulted in us actually from a food production system in impacting two things, in impacting our climate, so because we do contribute to emissions, but also in impacting biodiversity and how biodiversity works for us all. And yet we know that biodiversity, besides having the right to life itself, it's something that we need to be able to live a full life. So those are two parts of impacting our environment. But there's another perspective. Our food systems are also impacting our health. One in every three people are obese. The biggest cause of death today is how we eat, the type of food we eat, is our nutrition. We still have about 690 million people today that even amidst the plenty, because we do have a lot of food in this world, amidst the plenty, are still going hungry. And then there's the whole challenge around the fact that I talked about the fact that we have so much food being produced to the extent that $1 trillion worth of food is wasted every year. $1 trillion worth of food. So meaning we could actually feed the people that are going hungry already with how much we are wasting. So that is another perspective. And then I talked about the issue of equitable livelihoods and access to food, and then the issue of just ensuring that we have resilience in our food systems so that we don't have challenges, as we've seen with COVID, that are a result of our reaching, or overreaching in our ability to access food that ends up creating all sorts of other problems. So in a nutshell, we have all those challenges. But I think the most important part of our food system, which is the reason we are having the Food Systems Summit, the most important part of all that is recognizing that despite what we are able to do, we are off track in all the SDGs we set out that have to do with food systems, whether it is reducing poverty or whether it is reducing hunger or whether it is nutrition and how nutrition works for us or whether it is how we are impacting our environment, reducing waste. all the perspectives of our food system that are impacted by the SDGs are not working well, and in many cases we are off track. So the whole complexity of all these things being off track is really what led to the Secretary General last year calling for a food system summit that will be able to look at the challenges that the summit, that, I mean, that the food system is presenting, but also the opportunities that the food system does present if we choose to look at it from a different angle and if we choose to do different things. And this summit is really about helping us, helping the world, galvanizing action and helping people choose to do things differently.
What for you would a successful food system summit look like?
A successful food summit would first of all galvanize all the people that we are looking to engage, because a food system summit impacts each and every one of us. So for me, I see our ability to reach far and near and be able to mobilize consciousness around what is broken in our food system and how our food system should change would be point number one, galvanizing energy and interest and really a new way of looking at food system. So that would be point number one. How well do we mobilize our world to look at our food system? Number two would be recognizing that we are off track. How well do we set ourselves, do we set ambitions for ourselves to do things differently? There are a number of areas that where action has already been defined. When you look at Paris, when you look at SDGs, most of these things have already been defined. The question is, we are off track. The question is, we are not, our ambitions are not matching, or our actions are not matching what we have laid out to do. So the for me, success would be that we raise our ambition to match what we have laid out as what we want to see. We know what we want to see, but we are not raising our ambition high enough to be able to come through on those things. So number three is that we do have firm commitments around actions we can do to raise those ambitions to the level that will transform our food system to a new type of food system. So for me, those would be probably the three most important things.
As you say, there is enough food for everyone, but people are still starving, the environment is still being damaged. How has this failing system evolved?
We've built excesses within our food system that we probably don't need. That for me, that would be point number one. Again, I talked about the amount of waste we have within our food system. Do we have to have that type of waste? We've designed our food systems in ways that are not responding to what we need as people. Is it possible to step back and ask ourselves, what do we really need and how do we focus on what we need more than what is good to have? So we already have, the good thing is we already have that knowledge. We already have a lot of knowledge around what is good for us and what is good for our environment. We also have a lot of knowledge around what we are doing wrong. And we also have a lot of knowledge, including technologies, around what we could do differently. That's why I talk about ambition. That's why I talk about committing to that ambition. So what we need to do is not rocket science. What we need to do mostly is about galvanizing and mobilizing the right level of energy into our systems and right level of interest, but also the right level of political commitment from within our countries where we need to do that. But also one part I shouldn't forget is mobilizing the right level of engagement from our private sector, because food systems, much as it impacts all of us, we also are different players in different places at different times, and we have a whole lot of players that are engaging in different places, and their interest to change and their willingness to change and their willingness to work with all of us to find the right pieces of the food system that should be going forward while we agree on what needs to be abandoned is as much a public good as it is a private sector thing that we must all come around and really work on together. And yes, it's true. We have a scientific group that is working to help us understand the evidence of where we need to be going and what we need to be taking forward. And these people are galvanizing evidence from all over the world and are looking at what has been working in different places and are looking at what will work for where we are going. So we are going to build a lot of what we take forward on the evidence that the scientific group that has been put together will provide for us as what constitutes what going forward looks like, what we leave behind looks like. So we are going to really depend a lot on what this science group is going to tell us.
Do you think it's going to be difficult for you to pull together the disparate parts of the UN system?
So that's a very interesting question, because the UN system has a lot of work that has already been done from a food systems perspective. The Rome-based agencies, between them, FAO, IFAD, and World Food Programme, have a lot of information and a lot of work that has been done. But so other institutions that are related to the food systems away from the production and the mainstream agricultural sector perspective, there are all sorts of other institutions that are engaged based on what I said earlier. All these institutions are being pulled together to provide support to the summit. So let me just tell you how we are structured right now, so you get a good sense of how we are planning to mobilize the landscape. We've put all the UN institutions into what we are calling a UN task force. The UN task force we will use as an opportunity to channel all the energies, all the research, all the work that is coming from the UN system, to ensure we don't leave any institution from the UN system that has good work, to ensure we don't leave it out. So that work will be channeled through the UN task force. Then the UN task force will sit at the same table as the scientific group that is studying the science that is coming from hundreds of networks across the world, hundreds of institutions across the world, and they will sit together and compare data together at the same time. This is going to happen alongside food systems dialogues that are happening at country level, where we are looking at each country, what are the food systems in that country looking like, what is taking forward, what is worth taking forward, what should we be leaving behind, what's the nature of the conversation with regards to the food systems conversation in those countries, and how do we support them. But more importantly, we have five action tracks that look at, in each track, for example, we have a track on access to safe and nutritious food. In this track, we look at the opportunities of feeding people, but also the opportunities of feeding people with the right food from a nutrition perspective. So in that track, we look at what would be game-changing in each of these areas. And it is not going to be one. It's not going to be similar across regions. It's going to be probably several initiatives, several things in different regions, and maybe several things in different communities. But what would that look like? And how do we deploy them? That's why we bring it all together at country level, to have those conversations at country level. So yes, it's a complex system to organize. We have probably 80% of the machinery is already in place, is already beginning to work. All of it is being rolled out on the 16th of October, when we do launch all the dialogues, given that now all the instruments are in place, those will be launched, and that dialogue will be happening globally for the next 6 to 8 months before we come into the pre-summit events and all that. And hopefully that will give us a chance to really mobilize all the information and all the evidence and all the ideas that are out there, enough to create a system that allows us to have a view of what a future food system will look like. My own background is I've been leading in the agricultural sector for quite some time now. I started out with research in the CGIAR. When I finished my work, the CGIAR, I joined government. I worked for government for over 10 years in different capacities. And then I'm now working for an international organization across the continent, working with several countries on the continent. I guess for me, the most important part of how I look at this role is that I'm extremely passionate about two things. One, that we must end hunger in our lifetime. So that is something that probably does come across in many of the things that I do. I do believe that this is a solvable problem. This is something we can do, and I'm committed to it. Number two, that I don't understand. I struggle a lot to understand why Africa is still the hungry, one of the countries that is the continents that is still hungry with all everything we have going for us. I struggle to understand why, and I've made it my mission to try to understand why and try to work on how we can overcome whatever challenges that we see along the way. There are quite many. I have now a good sense of some of the challenges, and I see that we can overcome them. Number three, the idea of ensuring that there's that food is not an enemy of mankind, but food is something that promotes and advances mankind is extremely important, and that depends on our nutrition. So that's something I'm committed to work on. Lastly, probably really, really important too, is the whole idea of climate change. I did work in the agricultural sector when climate change was not there, when life was predictable, knowledge was available, and once means became available, farmers moved forward the right way. Today, their lives have been thrown into shambles. It's very difficult to know what's going to happen. And having grown up as the daughter of a smallholder farmer that survived and made it through life because my father could farm, I can only imagine what many of these families are going through. And I'm committed to ensure that globally, where these smallholder farmers live, we deal with the issue of climate change that is impacting their lives and making it very difficult to send their kids to school, just like my dad sent me to school. So those are some of the things that probably did stand out for him. That's my background. But also continentally, I have helped the continent to grow one of the biggest forums on the continent, agricultural forums on the continent, on an annual basis. Stepping in the shoes of the work that was initiated by Kofi Annan here on the continent, we have a continental forum that convenes over 4,000 people now across the continent every year, and has really brought out issues in a new light for the continent, and probably this. Being able to galvanize public sector, private sector, civil society, farming communities around this African event has been one of my biggest pleasures. And I think we've taken it to a new height, a new level. And probably people appreciate the work we've done around that and could speak to one of the other reasons also I may have been selected to lead this forum. So in a nutshell, I guess it's my passion, it's my understanding of what needs to be done, but also it's the work that I do every day.
Why do you think the Secretary General chose you as his special envoy for this summit?
My family found itself in a refugee camp in Uganda. We were very lucky. We were given a piece of land where we grew up in Uganda, and that allowed my parents to farm. And having grown up on a farm, a small farm, where my parents' source of income was how they farmed and being able to sell stuff from their farm and being able to send us to school from this farm really engraved in me at a very early on stage the opportunities that sit within the agricultural sector, the opportunities that sit within a farming system when it works very well. Growing up, I've come to understand farming systems better and the opportunities they provide for smallholder communities, probably even better than my dad had access to. But I guess all that does help me understand that our food systems do offer huge opportunities for farming communities. They do offer huge opportunities for nutrition, and they are at risk because of climate change. So knowing very well that a person's life could be transformed the way my life was transformed from a food and a smallholder perspective, that it's actually possible at the smallest holding level to actually transform people's lives. I can't sit back and do nothing. And I guess that's my passion. And probably that passion comes across when it comes to the work that I do, and may have contributed to why the Secretary General thought that I can help him lead this work.